Our sermon series on the book of Acts continues this week, and our focus this week, as in last week, is on the Holy Spirit. So I've selected out three different stories from the book of Acts, which shows some of the interesting ways that God's Holy Spirit finds its way into God's servants. So our first story comes from Acts chapter 8. There has just been a persecution of the church in Jerusalem, where the church started. And so some of the servants of the church have been forced out of the city, and we hear about Philip going to Samaria. So the text tells us, now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many other who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city. They believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Now, when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Our second story comes from Acts chapter 10. Peter has been invited into the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And Cornelius has assembled his whole household to listen to Peter because he himself was visited by an angel, said, go find this guy Peter and listen to what he has to say. So Acts chapter 10 tells us, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The other Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling, praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And our last story comes from Acts chapter 19. This is a story from Paul's ministries. So we're told that Paul passed through the inland regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And they replied, no, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they answered, into the baptism of John the Baptist. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Peter had laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. A few years ago, my Aunt Nancy's mother, whose name was Mildred, passed away. And I happened to be in West Michigan at the time when the funeral was taking place, and I'm not one to miss a good funeral, so I tagged along with my parents to the service. The pastor who led the service was named Dave, and he was one of Mildred's sons-in-law. Dave, a pastor like me, had grown up in the Reformed tradition, and he talked about how when he got to know Mildred, he started hearing from her a lot about Jesus. What did Dave mean by that comment? Well, he explained that Mildred was from a Christian background where when it came to the members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, her Christian tradition clearly placed its strong focus on the person of Jesus. Within her tradition, within her church, the focus was on people's relationship with Jesus, following and learning from his teaching and serving in this world as his disciple. Dave, the preacher, explained to an audience of mostly old, stodgy, reformed people like me that getting to know Mildred made him realize how our focus in the Reformed Church often falls not on Jesus, but on God the Father. Yes, we talk about Jesus and his role as our Savior and Lord, But really, our focus, he believes, is first and foremost on God. Now, I think that this is a prescient observation about how things work in different Christian traditions. Depending on what church you're attending, depending on what tradition you've come up through, you may end up hearing and focusing more on one member of the Trinity than the others. What is the case for us? Well, we are all different here at the Blauenberg Reformed Church. We all have different backgrounds and different Christian experiences. In mainline denominations like ours, the Reformed Church in America, I think our focus does often fall on God the Father, God who is the creator, God who is the organizer and gives us order and organization in this world, a God who is a lawgiver, a God who is transcendent. When it comes to the Bible, we focus on Paul's letters where we can engage with our faith as an intellectual endeavor. It's an endeavor of the mind, an endeavor to understand God's intricate and beautiful and wonderful plan of salvation. In evangelical and Baptist churches, I think the focus falls more towards Jesus. Their focus is on Jesus as their personal savior, shepherd, and friend. And accordingly, when it comes to the Bible, if our focus is on Paul's letters, their focus falls more on the Gospels, the words and the ways of Jesus. God the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit is the primary focus of our brothers and sisters in faith in the Pentecostal and Charismatic traditions. Their main text of Scripture, their biblical focus is on the book of Acts, where the Spirit falls upon believers and bestows its grace and peace and the spiritual gifts for the blessing of this world and the upbuilding of God's church. I believe that Pastor Dave, the preacher at Mildred's funeral, was right when he made that observation about our focus leaning towards God the Father. This focus means that in certain ways, our relationship with Jesus might be a little anemic. And if that is the case, it is probably no surprise that we also have an often too shallow appreciation and connection with our relationship to God, the Holy Spirit. Last week, I preached a message about the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts, the message that is the message of Peter's first sermon on Pentecost, the message that the Holy Spirit is for all of God's servants, not just the apostles, not just pastors, not just the members of the consistory, but the Holy Spirit is for all who have faith. God's plan and the amazing reality that we see unfolding in the book of Acts is that everyone who believes, everyone who comes to faith in Jesus, is endowed with the same Spirit that goes out from God to lead and inspire God's servants in this world, from Joshua to King David to the prophet Isaiah to Jesus himself. That same Spirit is for all of us. While this is true, and when pressed, I know that we all would agree with that good news message about the Holy Spirit. I also realize, because of how little our churches talk about and focus on the Holy Spirit, I realize that when pressed on our personal relationship to the Holy Spirit, some of us might honestly feel like those disciples in Ephesus, who, when asked by the Apostle Paul if they had received the Holy Spirit, respond with an amazingly honest response. Paul asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And their response is to say, "Holy what now? Holy Spirit? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." My friends, the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. But if we never talk about the Holy Spirit, if we never recognize the Spirit's presence and the Spirit's power in our lives, if our focus so rarely falls on the Holy Spirit, I realize that it might be the case that we at times are not too sure what to think about our relationship with God the Holy Spirit. As I studied the stories about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts these past few weeks, God has helped me to realize that that same sort of messy and progressive arrival of the Holy Spirit that we see in the book of Acts, that same narrative that shows the Holy Spirit coming in different ways to different people and different groups, that reflects our reality as well. Some of us might feel like Cornelius and his household. We might be like people who receive the Holy Spirit suddenly, powerfully, and just right out of the blue. We didn't have the Holy Spirit, but then we heard the message about God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And like a rush of powerful wind, the Spirit was with us, suddenly filling our hearts and filling our mouths with God's praise. Others of us in our stories might feel like the folks in Samaria who heard Philip's preaching. We've been taught about Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We know he's our Lord and Savior. And in fact, at some point in our faith journey, whether as infants or young people or later in adulthood, we've even been baptized. But when it comes to an overt sense of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, we just aren't too sure if we actually have that Holy Spirit yet. Others of us might feel like the disciples that Paul encounters in Ephesus. They were engaged in a relationship with God. They had been learning about Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus, but no one had taught them yet that there was a Holy Spirit to receive. Paul asks them if they have it, and they say straight up, "We didn't even know there was one." When I read that story preparing for this sermon series, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Jeff, you talk so little about me that there are people in your sphere who feel the same way. A few weeks ago, I saw a picture on Facebook of one of my colleagues, one of my fellow ministers, Reverend Fred Harrell, who serves in RCA, a Reformed church out in San Francisco, California. In the picture, Fred, who's my dad's age, was kneeling in front of his church, and he was surrounded by the leaders of his church. They had their hands on his shoulders, and they were clearly praying for him. After seeing that picture, I reached out to Fred to ask what was going on. Fred, what was the occasion of this blessed experience of prayer and the laying on of hands? And Fred wrote back to tell me that he was going through a transition in ministry. He and his church were going through a transition in ministry where he was transitioning from being the head pastor of the church to a new ministry role in that community. With that new role, there was a new reason, a new occasion for his church community to practice a ceremony that we have within our church tradition. It is the ceremony, the practice of ministers, elders, mentors in our faith, leaders of the church, to lay their hands upon someone and say a prayer, recognizing the Holy Spirit's presence and asking specifically that the Holy Spirit would fill someone with the peace and the faith and the spiritual gifts and the direction that they would need for the next chapter of their ministry and in their lives. That is what we see happening in the book of Acts. People come to faith, and then the leaders of the church, recognizing what God is doing in their lives, those leaders come with a prayer and the laying on of hands, and the Spirit descends with great gifts to share. Reverend Fred was starting a new chapter in his ministry, and so it was a good time to lay hands upon him and ask for the blessing of God's Holy Spirit. This is a practice that we have and we do in our tradition. And personally, I have been the benefactor of that kind of experience time and time again. And it has left me with a confidence. I have a confident faith that God's Spirit is with me. And I can tell you, it's a good feeling to have. I was prayed for, I was prayed over time and time again as I made my way through the ordination process to become a minister. When I made my public profession of faith, when I was confirmed at the age of 21, the elders and the pastor of my church prayed for me in front of the church. When I left to go to seminary, my home church prayed for me that I would be blessed by the Spirit and have the Spirit's gifts and guidance on the journey that lay ahead. When I first entered the ordination process, the classes of North Grand Rapids accepted me as a candidate for ministry. And they prayed over me that I would have the Holy Spirit's help. When I graduated from seminary, when I passed my ordination exams, when I was ordained, when I was installed, when I changed churches, as I entered new callings, time and time again, there was a leader of our church at my side with their hands on my shoulders, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, but each time they spoke that reality, they prayed that reality that God's Spirit would be with me, and that God's Spirit would give me help along the way. And that experience has given me a confident faith that God's Spirit is with me. And that faith has guided me and grounded me, and that faith has been good, good for me. Now, we practice prayer with the laying on of hands for people who are not ministers. But this week, I've been convicted that we do that way too infrequently within our tradition. We do it when someone joins the leadership board of our church, and we do it when someone first enters membership into our church. But rarely, if ever, do we do that kind of prayer with the laying on of hands as an open calling to anyone who might feel ready for that kind of ceremony and that kind of blessed experience. So this year, that's where I feel God calling us and the leaders of our church to go, and what I feel God calling us to offer. We've begun a new church year. The summer is over and the new year has begun. I have entered a new phase of ministry with you all as I'm back as your full-time minister after 4 years of a good partnership with Griggstown. In that sense, our whole church is entering a new phase as we together return to a situation where we have full-time ministry. And God only knows all of the other reasons that each and every one of us might have a need or a seeking or a craving in our hearts for a ceremony and an experience of having a mentor in our faith pray for us and recognize and celebrate and ask for the blessing of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. My friends, the book of Acts reminds us, God through the book of Acts reminds us that God is pouring out God's Holy Spirit into our lives and into our church. And I'm convicted that it's time for us to recognize and to celebrate what God is doing. It's time to pray for God's blessing and the blessing of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. So in good ordered Dutch Reformed tradition, I've made a plan. I've reached out to the elders of our church, and together we've decided to offer a special service for prayer with the laying on of hands for anyone who wants it. We're gonna do this next Sunday evening, September 18th, here in the sanctuary at 5:30 p.m. It'll be a special service here in the sanctuary. We'll have a little bit of music. I'll say a prayer for everybody. But the highlight of the service will be a time for you to come forward, and me as well, to come forward, to stand or to kneel, and to receive from me and our elders a prayer of blessing for the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands. Who is this service for? This service is for everyone. Everyone. If you feel confident in your faith and secure in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, this service is a time for you to rededicate your life to God and confirm that good relationship you have with the Holy Ghost. If you feel like you are just hearing about the Holy Spirit for the first time, you never realized the Spirit was there and it's for you, then this service is a service for you. If you're feeling good about your relationship, but maybe a little bit unsure about your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, if you've heard about the Spirit before, maybe you've even had someone pray a prayer over you with the laying on of hands, and you're fairly confident that God's Spirit is with you, but sometimes you're just not always so sure, then this service is for you. If you are ready to start a new chapter in your life of faith, if you're ready to redevote your life to God in a new way in 2022 and 2023, if you are ready for God's Spirit to play a more powerful and prominent role in your life, this service is for you. All you need to do is show up next Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. and the elders and I will shepherd you through the experience. We'll welcome you forward. We'll offer you a chance to kneel. If you're comfortable with it, we'll lay our hands on your shoulders and we will pray for you. We will pray that the Holy Spirit will fill your life with God's peace and God's blessing. God has poured out God's Holy Spirit. Today, we recognize and celebrate that reality, and next Sunday night, we will celebrate and recognize that reality in a special way. Personally, I'm really excited. Thanks be to God. Amen.